Hi, this is Gareth David Noon from Serpentine. You're listening to Act Chick Radio.
This is Cemil Topuz from Rock and Rock radio show broadcasted on Açık Radyo Turkey. I thank you very much for sparing some of your free time and giving me the opportunity to ask you some questions about yourselves and Serpentine, sir.
That's okay.
Thank you. Can you tell us about your musical background, please? When did you start playing the keyboards and how did your career in the music business has developed after that?
Wow. Okay, I started playing piano and keyboards when I was about 11 years old. And that was mainly because my mother forced me to learn an instrument, but that came in useful later.
Well, I've got twins and both of them are playing the keyboard, so I should say the piano, and they started around the year of five, and they are progressing. Hopefully, they will follow your footsteps.
Well, I'm sure if they started at five, then by the time they get to my age, they'll be much better than I am. But yeah, it's the band really started in 2007. I already was friends with the bass player Gareth Vanstone.
I see.
And he happened to introduce me to his brother's friend, who's Chris Gould, who's the guitar player. And Gareth and I had always talked about putting a band together for years before that, but it was only really then when we finally got a guitar player that everything started falling into place. And we just had a lot of lucky breaks after that. We met Bob Richards, who's the drummer from Shy, in a studio where Chris was engineering. And he suggested we get in touch with Tony Mills, and obviously we've done two albums with Tony.
Yes. And really, that was one of my questions because Tony Mills is, you know, famous all over the world in the melodic rock community through TNT. And you guys were fairly unknown around that point of time.
Completely unknown.
And, you know, connecting with Tony really is a big chance for you. And eventually you found the right vocalist. Which qualities did Tony bring to the band? What are your feelings about it?
I mean, Tony brings everything. You know, he brought everything we needed. Basically, it was a case of we wanted a singer with a great voice. He's got a great voice. We wanted somebody who could songwrite, you know, write the songs together with us.
Yes.
You know, he did that, and the main thing he brought to the band was experience, to be perfectly honest. And a lot of people said to us when we put the first album out last year that, oh, you know, you sound like you've been making records for years and years, and that's all down to Tony. He's such a seasoned professional. I mean, obviously we were so lucky to be able to get the guy who was in TNT,
for us.
It was crazy.
And I remember listening to your first album, A Touch of Heaven, and, you know, it blew me right away from the first listen. You know,
Thank you very much.
You know, this is very rare, Gareth, really, at the first moment, you know, being that catchy and listening till the end of the album without being bored. and, you know, it's very rare for me. It's like Foreigner 4 or a Journey Escape album for me. And I listened to it throughout 2010. I even played Let Love Rain Down on our radio show. And yesterday I read my remarks about the album and realized how much I got impressed by the fine balance between the rhythm section and the guitars and the keyboards. Of course, Tony's vocals are phenomenal. Could you tell us about the creation process of that album? You know, I'm very curious about it. How did you come up with all of those sensational melodies and hooks and choruses? Is there any dominant songwriter or group, any group member, you know, who is more into the songwriting process?
Well, thank you very much for the compliment, first of all. I mean, it basically works in the last of the two albums that we've done so far that Chris, the guitar player, and myself have written all the music, and Tony wrote the vocals. It was strange making that first album for us because we'd been writing songs for a good 2 years before we really got in touch with Tony, maybe a year and a half. So we already had a lot of the songs. And it's interesting when you're in a band with that doesn't have a singer, which is the situation we were in before we had Tony, where we were writing songs and we were trying to make them as catchy as possible musically, because we knew that if we were going to find a singer, we would have to play these songs for the singer with no lyrics, and we wanted them to sound we wanted them to sound interesting before they had any vocals or any vocal melodies or lyrics on there. So that was kind of the genesis of why we always sort of tried to keep the music slightly interesting, as well as obviously what Tony brings, brought to the band with the lyrics
and vocal melodies. I got you.
And he's fantastic.
Yeah, it was a perfect album. I will come to the Living and Dying later. And after this album, you toured with Crash Diet and Houston. How was the initial fan reaction to the Touch of Heaven album? I heard lots of good reviews about the album, and how was it when you performed in front of the audience?
We were absolutely blown away. I mean, we'd gotten a good reaction to the album. I mean, there's always somebody out there who doesn't like something, but for the most part, we got a really good reaction. The icing on the cake, the best part about doing any of this is playing live in front of people,
of course,
on stage, and that tour was absolutely fantastic for us, and it'd been a long time coming, because obviously we set the band up in early 2007, and we had to wait till early 2011 to play our first shows, and obviously we were so lucky to play some big venues with Houston and Crash Diet. It's the best part. Playing shows is the best part, and that's obviously, we've put out our second record now, and what we really want to do now is start taking the music out to people. As you said, we did the tour earlier this year. We've just played in Germany. We're playing Firefest in England next week, and then we've got Rockfest in Madrid coming up. So that's really what we're concentrating on now.
Yeah, those will be my later questions. First, I would like to come to Living and Dying in High Definition, your second album. Phenomenal as usual, something I would expect from Serpentine, definitely. How did you come up with the title? The title is really different, man.
Yeah, well, that was kind of the whole purpose of that title. We were thinking for so long. We didn't actually name the album until very close to actually when we put the record out. We wanted a title that was so different that when you said the title of the album, people would say, "Oh yeah, that's the Serpentine album," as opposed to going, "What album was that? Who was that by?"
I see.
The title of the album is basically to do with how the whole world has changed for us over the last year, because obviously, as you say, we were unknowns this time just over a year ago, and we've had so much exposure. I mean, obviously through having Tony Mills in the band, if you have Tony Mills in a band with you, people take notice of you.
Of course. Yeah.
So we've been under the microscope more than we could ever have expected, and things have changed completely for us, to the point, from the 18 months ago where nobody had heard of us to people offering us shows and offering us new record deals and publishing contracts and things like that. So it's basically the album title, Living and Dying in High Definition, is a statement.
That's good.
Basically just about how life has just sort of changed for us.
Definitely. Now it makes perfect sense for me too. Was there any change of approach in the songwriting and recording process? Although musical-wise, Living and Dying is pretty much similar to A Touch of Heaven, I found the sound of the second one much tighter and much more polished. Was that change intentional? Should I say, did you go to the same studio? Obviously, the producers are very close friends from Magnum years, and they know each other very well. They work together. I can understand that part. But did you use something different in the recording process for the second one?
Chris and I co-produced the new album. We had a very clear sound in our head of how we wanted this one to sound. Obviously, when we made the Touch of Heaven record, we'd never made a record before. So in the studio, we basically just said, "Look, we're gonna record, we're gonna play the music. You produce it."
I see.
Because we didn't know, we wouldn't have known what we were doing. But this time around, we had a very clear vision. And the other thing I would say that was different to the last album is that, as I said to you before, when we were writing the first album, some of the songs we wrote before we had Tony with us. So with the new album, we knew exactly the voice we were writing for. We knew exactly what he wanted to hear. We knew what kind of sounds and what kind of chords were best to get the best performance out of Tony, and what he likes to write with. So we had more tools.
I see.
More knowledge this time of what we were going to do. So
I see.
We just had a better vision in our heads this time.
I gotcha. And has the album turned out as you hoped, you know, and can you name your favorite songs on it? You know, this is a very cliche question, but I'm curious about it.
there's always something on the album. I mean, there's always something on the album that you think, maybe we should have done something different, or I don't know. I'm absolutely delighted with it, though. It's as exactly as we planned, pretty much. So I'm really happy with that. I mean, favorite songs, it's a very difficult question.
All of them are your babies.
Yeah, exactly. I really like Philadelphia. That was one of the first songs we wrote
me
for
too,
the record.
Me too, definitely.
That's one of my favorite ones.
Favorite
Dreamer.
Song, yeah.
Dreamer is a favorite one.
Definitely.
Because we tried some new bits with that one. And I think the other one I'd have to name as a favorite would probably be the last track on the record, Forgotten Heroes.
Forgotten Heroes.
And the reason I say that is basically because every idea we had for that song, we threw it in. We wanted everything in that song.
I see.
We put a big, long guitar outro on it. We put a big, long intro. We put some crazy lyrics in there. That's just meant to be a fun song.
That one is a hitter. And on Dreamer, those beautiful harmony vocals, you know, first time in a Serpentine album, I heard that. You know, usually the Swedish, the Scandinavian melodic hard rock groups try that harmony vocal stuff, but on Dreamer, it's done perfectly. Really, that's one of my sweethearts too. And I also like Cry and Forgotten Heroes too. By the way, you already mentioned next Friday you will be in Nottingham on Firefest Festival. Unfortunately, I won't be able to be there. You know, I try to go there as often as possible, but next week I won't be able to do it. And what I realized there, you know, usually the groups there try to show their best and perform as good as possible. It's their tour de force. Right now, I would like to switch to the obvious question. There's a vocalist change. Now you started to work with Matt. Are you satisfied with the outcome? Is there still way to grow on it?
Of course. I think in the long term, getting Matt in was a natural move. Tony obviously moved to Norway, so it wasn't going to continue. But we're still good friends with Tony, so he's going to continue writing with us and things like that. So the sound of the band won't change, other than there'll be a different guy on vocals. Obviously, we've been playing shows now with Matt, and you know he sings the songs fantastically. So
perfect.
As far as we're concerned, there's just an extra little ingredient in there now.
Perfect. Yeah, that's what I would expect too. With Matt, I'm sure that you're going to continue your track.
I have no doubt about it. Losing Tony wasn't perfect for us, but it's not a perfect world, unfortunately. And as I said, he moved to Norway. Obviously, he had some health conditions last year, and he moved to Norway to be closer to TNT because he wanted to cut out all the traveling in his life, because he was having to fly from England to Norway every other week. So, but as I've already said, I mean, we're still very, very, very good friends with Tony. We still talk to him all the time, and he will be contributing with backing vocals and songwriting on the next album. So I think it will be a very smooth transition.
Good to know
smooth
that.
Change.
With the resurgence of American-oriented rock and melodic rock, you know, currently being an English band, you know, the cradle of this type of music is England, and right now it's populated with Scandinavian countries groups and groups from Italy. You know, how do you see Serpentine and its musical style fit in this type of music?
Well, that's a very good question. That's a very, very good question. And if you'd have asked me that about 7 months ago, I wouldn't have known the answer. But having done that tour with Houston and Crash Diet, I mean, I was absolutely amazed. A lot of big bands like Journey and Foreigner, when they're on tour, they always say in interviews, "Oh, it's amazing. You know, you get so many generations of different ages of fans. You get kids, you get older guys, you get middle-aged guys, you get guys in their 20s, and I always thought, you know, is that really true of what the demographic is? But it's, as I say, on that tour, I was absolutely blown away. We had there was absolutely everybody, all different generations, and I mean, we've had everything from guys in Mexico playing guitar to our songs and putting it on YouTube, to, you know, 15-year-old kids doing the same in the UK and posting it on our Facebook page and things like that. So.
And by the way, I'm 45 and, you know, I'm listening to it, you know, like crazy because melodic rock, this type of quality is not very usual. And
thank you very much.
I really like it a lot. To what type of music do you prefer to listen? And currently, are there any favorite groups or albums that you're listening to, just to, you know, get your idea about your current view of music?
I'm a total AOR guy. I'm a total melodic rock guy. I mean, our guitar player is quite into metal and melodic rock and everything as well, but. I'm totally a melodic rock guy. Currently listening. Funnily enough, I'm currently listening to the new Shy album with Lee Small on vocals, which is an absolutely phenomenal.
I liked it very much too.
Record, that's a fantastic record. The new White Widow record, I like that a lot.
Yep.
Which we're playing with them in at Firefest, obviously, next week. And the new Newman record, I think, is very
Newman,
good.
Newman, perfect.
And the new House of Lords, of course, I have to mention that as well.
Yep, yep. They are still going, actually, the singer, James Christian. Yeah, he's still going on. He's a wonderful guy. And my last question will be, you know, slowly you are getting used to the music business and being a recording artist. May I have your opinion about the current condition of the music industry, you know, with all of these downloading the music, and how does it affect the artists and the music business, in your opinion?
It does affect us a lot, and I think if you ask any band, especially in, you know, a genre of music where every sale counts, it does hurt. But it's frustrating as well, because I think the quality of the music being released at the moment is, in terms of melodic rock, is probably some of the best we've had in the last 15 years.
Definitely.
So, I mean, you only have to listen to the albums like the new House of Lords album or the new Work of Art album or things like that to see that that's the case. So it's frustrating, but it's, you know, I suppose it's become the nature of what happens. I mean, we all enjoy the good things of the internet, and with, you know, you have to take the good with the bad.
Definitely. Thank you very much. You know, I don't want to take too much of your time.
I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
I thank you too.